Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Shu and I had the pleasure of going to ACC Media Day here recently, so we figured we'd kind of come together, talk a little bit about that. We got to talk to the players, so we'll have some audio clips in there. We'll break down a little bit about what head coach John Shire was talking about, just kind of recap the event right quick. Then we might talk a little bit about some quote-unquote secret scrimmage that recently happened today with Villanova, do a fun little over-unders as we get ready to lead into the season here. That being said, Shu, our second year here at Media Day, what was kind of your overall kind of takeaways, expectations kind of heading in, being a veteran this time? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, it was in a different location, so it wasn't as familiar, you know, as last year, but same kind of setup. We, you know, show up, register, went to the media workroom, saw Brennan, just kind of got our thoughts together before we headed into the main ballroom to listen to John and the guys come on. I mean, it's kind of the same setup as it was last year, you know, for the most part. I did think it was awkward to where they had the ACC set right there as we had to like walk by to go get lunch or whatever. Weird. But I think that might've been on purpose just to make it create the illusion that there's, you know, a lot happening going on in the place.
Yeah, I will say they do a pretty good job of kind of going all out for these things, like the whole like hotels decked out with ACC Media Day stuff, provide you with meals and all of that. Everyone's super cool, super nice, pretty laid back atmosphere. Shout out to Brandon, ran into him. What from John's press conference, obviously that's live public. Y'all can go watch that. We're not going to pull any audio from that since that's already been out there. You can check out, Go Duke or Duke men's basketball. They have all that stuff for you. Anything that he said that might've stuck out to you, Shu, what sitting there listening to that? I know we talked a little bit about not having Lively, talked about having some continuity. What stood out to you? I know you got a question in, so.
Definitely the question about, you know, the defense this year, I think that was on all of our minds coming in. Obviously we added some shooters, but missing Lively, you know, what is that going to do? And he talked about, obviously, you know, they're going to miss Derek, but they were a good defensive team even when he wasn't on the floor last year. And I think a lot of that had to do with Proctor's own ball defense. You know, he was just kind of a ball hawk. And then Mitchell being that kind of Swiss Army knife that can guard anybody. So hopefully this year they can kind of continue to do some of that stuff. They might not pressure as far out because if you do get burnt, you don't have that rim protector. So I think we might see them still get up into guys. And even Jeremy said this in our breakout sessions. They can still get into guys. They might just not gamble as much. So that was kind of the biggest takeaway for as far as like schematics go. And then, I did get in the question to John just about, you know, coming in last year, his first year, we had 11 new players, only one returning. That might have been literally the least inexperienced team since maybe Duke's ever even had basketball, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, and then this year, obviously, having four sophomores come back and four starters, it's not the most experience, and he talked about not in like games played, but at least in the last like 10 years of Duke basketball, we haven't had this many guys with that kind of game experience come back. So he said that, it makes it easier on him, but also that kind of breeds softness, breeds softness. And so they've just doubled down in all the work that they've done and try not to cut any corners and, you know, just keep at the main goal is just work hard and let it all play out.
I thought that was probably the biggest thing that he said. I mean, obviously his press conference was a little short. He came in a little bit later. But for him to say that, like, you know, we don't want to be comfortable because that makes us soft, like just to use that word, like, we don't want to be soft. We're not going to skip steps. That's huge because you have those four starters coming back. You know, they're hungry and they're probably ready to play meaningful basketball games like right away. And that's just not quite the case, right? Not that they're not meaningful in November, but it's not like playing in February, March, and April.
Right.
So just kind of making sure that we don't skip any of those steps there. I thought that was huge.
The team's kind of positioning in the college basketball landscape is so much different this year.
Yeah.
Because last year there just weren't a lot of expectations, and now they come in as the number two or number one team, depending on the poll.
Yeah.
So I can just see that, you know, that's something he kind of has to navigate maybe a little bit. Like, I don't feel that the team has like seemed like they're full of themselves or anything like that. But, you know, there's a little attitude and swagger there. I don't know if we'll get to it, but I listened to some of that Jeremy Roach stuff. And there was a question about Proctor saying that they're the best backcourt. And he was like, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I kind of like that, but that's one of those things you kind of have to navigate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I will say that at one point, Roach kind of had gotten asked about, you know, preseason one, preseason two. And it wasn't a direct shot at Carolina, I think, but it was pretty understood that like that doesn't really mean anything right now. Right? Like, none of that really carries any weight. Speaking about shots at Carolina, just for the fans listening, a lot of like age-related comments about Baycott, right? Because this was like his fourth media day or something.
And Flip said he didn't have any personality on the court.
Yeah. So the funniest part about that was Baycott was like, I'm not even the oldest person on the team. Apparently Cormack just turned 25. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. You know, a bunch of old guys over there. So get your shots in. Get your shots in early. I don't think I have much more to say from John's. I mean, obviously that's public, so that's out there. Y'all can go and listen to that. But let's kind of jump in here and talk about some of the players. So we got to go in after the main presser. Me and she got to go in and talk to Tyrese and Flip and Jeremy for a little bit. So we can start there. I think I went straight to Tyrese first. He was the guy that I wanted to speak to probably more than anyone, just being that sophomore captain. So we talked a little bit about leadership, what it means to be a captain and kind of how he's approaching that. So I'll play that clip right quick. Tyrese, Josh Smith with the Devil's Den. Could you talk a little bit about what it means for you being a sophomore captain? Was that something that was intentional for you this offseason of like, I'm going to be more vocal, I'm going to lead these guys? Is that something you always had, or was that something that you really had to kind of attack this year?
I mean, being a starting point guard at Duke in itself, you sort of have to be vocal. There's not really a choice in it. You know, you got to be a leader because, you know, coach can't be out on the court with you. So I feel like that just sort of helped me mold into, you know, the leader I am today. And, you know, I've been captain of a lot of teams in the past, and, you know, I'm very honored for that. And it wasn't something I necessarily aimed towards doing. I feel like it just came naturally. And, you know, me and Coach have a good connection, and he feels confident, and I feel confident in leading this group alongside Jeremy and Ryan.
Nothing too groundbreaking there. I do think he's being a bit humble with that, you know, because it does seem all the reports that we've heard kind of into the offseason was like his growth as a vocal leader in terms of like keeping guys accountable and making sure like leading practices and getting guys going has really jumped. I did like hearing, though, that, you know, point guard at Duke, there's no option but to just be a leader and be a captain. Roll shoe for you guys. I know we've talked about it before already. What are you really looking for out of Tyrese as a leader and a captain, though?
I mean, I think just keeping everybody happy, because obviously we have a lot of guys that are going to want to score the ball this year. Getting guys set up in the right spots. I think, and Jeremy hinted at in some of the questions we asked, you know, the style of play that Tyrese came from, that kind of FIBA stuff is more predicated on moving the ball. It's not a lot of ISO stuff. So I think that's why he's a little bit maybe better at that spot than anybody else we have on the team, just because that's the way we want to play this year, is, you know, get up and down and kind of spread the ball around. So I think that's probably the key thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he'd be really fun to play with, just all that movement and the ball not kind of sticking with him. I think, you know, if you're a scorer, that's just the kind of point guard you want to play with. So, yeah, I don't, and it's interesting. When he was coming into Duke last year, he seemed kind of reserved at first. And as like the year went on, he like really came out of his shell and he got like very demonstrative on the court. I think you kind of first saw it in that first Carolina game, maybe.
Yeah.
Just kind of carry that forward, that kind of edge he's got to him.
Yeah, that's what I want for sure, because I think Jeremy talks a lot. He's repeated it a lot that he's kind of a lead by example guy, right? Like get it out on the court. Like I want Tyrese to kind of be the vocal counterpart to that, right? To just be that demonstrative kind of, not just like in his like actions, but more like just vocally too. And I think we're going to get a piece of that. And I think we might have kind of have been missing that a little bit. Those guys are hard to find, right? They don't make Shane Battiers for every group that you have that can just come in and be that vocal presence while also being one of your top 2, 3, maybe your best player. I think that's the piece that really separates it. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to see a little bit more of that. Shoot, I know you got to talk to him as well. I think you asked him a little bit, kind of piggybacking a little bit off the leadership, about, you know, his preparation and just being ready that he has a full off season. I think he didn't get to campus last year until like August or like late August or something. So he's been around, he's been on campus, he's been in the gym. So we can talk a little bit about that, and we'll hear that clip now if you want to go ahead and play it.
Tyrese, last year you got to campus a little later than the rest of the freshmen. How's it been this year, kind of being on time, on schedule for everything? Is it more comfortable with everything?
Yeah, for sure. I was probably one of the guys, me, Flip, and Jalen, probably one of the three guys that sort of stayed on campus all the time. You know, we were there summer session 1 and 2, just getting workouts every day, every morning, being in the weight room a lot more than I have been in the past. And you know, I think we're just way more prepared this year. I think I'm personally more prepared and a lot more confident than I was last year.
You showed off a little bounce at CTC. Don't remember if you had a dunk in game last year.
I won against Virginia, but okay. I think just the mindset of, you know, every time I'm near the rim to just dunk it, because, you know, there's a lot more athletes in the league this year, and you know, you're not going to have time to, you know, finger roll it and finesse it. So just being fast.
And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week or whenever it was that we recorded, about needing to be able to finish this year, right? Like you don't have Lively up there, where I think, you know, when you have a guy like that, getting it up off the glass and at a favorable spot is a decent attempt sometimes, right? Because you just have a guy that can crash and finish. And look what he was doing the other night in the league. You know, he almost got hurt trying to finish one of those offensive rebounds. So to hear that from Proctor, I think that was one of my only really criticisms last year, is he got in that in between a little bit and couldn't really figure out what he wanted to do. So hopefully we get a few more bunnies.
We talked about that with Brian Geisinger, I think, about his game kind of stalling out in the mid range there. You know, that first Carolina game, they baited him into a lot of floaters because Baycott was in the drop.
Yep.
And I don't know, I don't have his like rim finishing numbers handy, but I remember them not being that good for a guy his size. And he also didn't take a lot of free throws, and you want him taking free throws because he shoots like 90% at the line. So yeah, that's the next step in his game for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be huge. Shoot, anything else that you took away from Tyrese in your interactions with him?
No, I mean, I think just his demeanor, I feel like he's just kind of laid back. You know, he does, I don't know. It just seemed like he doesn't get too up about anything, you know?
Yeah. I will say he's big, dude. And obviously I'm sitting here at like, what, 5'10 and a half, maybe 5'11 on a generous day. But you see Tyrese on the floor and he just kind of looks average, right? And you go stand beside him and he's all of 6'5 for sure. Great hair, too. Great hair. Coming from
I just love hearing him talk, to be honest with you. You know?
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about two-hit flip. He was getting a lot of, you know, one thing, this is just random and aside, but these guys, man, like, I understand why they go through media training. Some of the questions that they were getting asked, like,
I listened, no shots, some of those were weird, man.
No shot, but one guy's trying to, like, deep dive flip on, like, women's NIL and somebody else.
He did well, like, though, man. I would have been like, I have nothing to say, honestly.
Yeah.
What do you want from me, guy?
Yeah, yeah. They were trying to get him to talk about Baycott and, like, other guy units. They were throwing darts towards him a little bit. So shouts to him for being able to handle that. I guess that's a good enough segue as ever. Our first question here, we talked a little bit to him about managing expectations and what the pressure is going to be like being named ACC preseason player of the year. So she was fired that one up.
I do want to just mention that we didn't know he was going to be ACC preseason player of the year at that point, but
I kind of assumed
that's how I was going to.
We did, and we didn't. Yeah.
We did, and didn't. Yeah, kind of did, and didn't. So, anyways, here it goes.
Expected to be ACC preseason player of the year this year. Has John talked to you about, like, not managing expectations, but just not putting a lot of pressure on yourself, whatnot, to go out and just play well every night?
Yeah, I haven't really thought much about it. Like, it's cool to see. But I mean, I didn't see myself on any list last year in preseason, and I ended up on a lot of lists at the end of the year. So it could easily just be the other way around where I started the list, but, you know, I worked myself off. So I think I'm just trying to focus on what's best for this team, playing the hardest I can every game, and, you know, putting it all out there for my guys.
Nice little humble response there from Flipper. I think it's telling, though. I love him saying that I wasn't there last year. I played my way on, so I could just as easily be here on the preseason and end up not living up to the hype.
You mentioned UNC earlier, and I think it's almost helpful to this Duke team that they saw what happened to UNC last year.
Yeah.
Just like how quickly the rug is yanked out from under you if you're not if you don't work hard, basically.
Yeah, and if you're not just all on the same page, right? Like if the noise, and I know, you know, Hubert talked about that a lot last year, if we have a lot of noise that's not coming from inside the locker room, that's being brought to the locker room, like a lot of external noise, and they just couldn't filter that, they couldn't kind of block that out. I think that's going to be big for this group. I mean, we're older, but we're still really young. And now the target's on the back. And so, you know, again, those shouts to Flip for being ACC preseason player of the year. I've looked at some of the national ones and the ACC ones. At some point, why not just have five bigs on there? I mean, I think on both lists are like four bigs and a guard at this point, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Put Flip at the two, I guess. I think you also talked to him a little bit, though, Shu, about just kind of improvement from last year, coming off the injury, staying hungry, and just building off of that momentum. Let's play that one right quick, and we'll go to Jeremy.
Last year, you guys win the ACC tournament. You're one kind of box call away from winning the regular season as well. How do we improve on that this season? What keeps you hungry for this year?
Yeah, I think just looking at our losses from this past season and realizing what we did wrong and not letting those things happen again. Obviously, you know, there's questionable calls at, you know, Virginia Tech, places like that. But, you know, there's still other things that we could have done better. And I think just taking those things and fixing them so we turn those losses into wins, it'll definitely, you know, be good for us. But also even looking at the close games that we won, you know, how could we not get it close? How could we, you know, get it to be a larger win and not have to be that close anymore?
Again, another mature response from Flip too, right? Just, I love that he's saying that, like, you know, sure, we can go back and look at losses, but, like, I want to go back and look at close wins too, games that we almost gave away or games that we cruised, or, you know, that we should be beating this team by X amount, right? And we took our foot off. Because sometimes those bite you, right? Sometimes those come back to get you. Obviously I wasn't in over there with Flip quite as much as you were. Just what were your just overall thoughts and just takeaways of interacting with Flip and where he's at heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think he seemed to kind of say the same thing about and getting kind of asked the same thing. What are the general expectations? What's the vibe of the locker room? What do you guys feel like this is a national championship caliber team? And he was pretty steady with that. Like, that's what we're all here for. You know, we're here to put the work in to get to that spot. And I don't want to say it's a championship or bust type season. We've said that several times before, but I do think that Elite Eight Final Four is kind of what this team needs to at least achieve.
Yeah. I mean, and Flip said it too, right? He's like, nothing short of a national championship. And, you know, if this was played in like an NBA format, or if it was played in like a typical playoff format, then sure, right? Then absolutely it would be championship or bust. If we're talking best of five, best of seven, we're talking about trying to win six straight. And so I think for me, it is that, like, I want to be playing last weekend, whether that's losing in the Final Four, losing in the championship game, or winning the whole thing. That's kind of the barometer, right? Of like getting to Phoenix, and see what happens. So, sounds like they're pretty locked in.
I thought it was interesting that he, actually admitted that there were some questionable calls. I did not expect him to say that, but players
really
usually shy away.
The one that the ACC admitted to themselves. That
right, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but he usually doesn't say it like, call out Virginia Tech.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, you kind of baited him into it a little bit maybe, but still, I thought he'd be a little bit more diplomatic than that.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny to me. I didn't. Yeah. It wasn't a bad thing to say by any means, but, because again, immediately afterwards, he switches to like, yeah, but we could have played better.
Yeah. Right. But it goes to show just the mentality of a player, right? Yeah. There's a whole lot of media persona that you can get. But even if you go back to what she was asking Tyrese, like, I don't know how many dunks you had. Oh, yeah, I had one at Virginia. And boom, like, I know how many I have, right? Like, it's that kind of idea of, yeah, I know my stats. I know exactly what's going on. I can play it off the vest a little bit, but... I can appreciate that stuff too. John's like that as well. When you hear him talk, right, he can go back and reference stats and stuff from games. So, that's pretty cool. But all right, I guess we'll finish it off with our returning senior captain, Mr. Jeremy Roach. And I'm just like, to before we lead into this, we've been a little up and down on this podcast a little bit, but man, just interacting with Jeremy at Media Day, like, I'm just all in on this dude right now. I mean, just like, he was super laid back, all smiles, just really enjoying it. But like, he's saying all the right things too. Like, he's not getting caught up in it. He was asked about being able to, be a guy that plays on two Final Fours potentially. And not many guys have been able to do that, especially if you go back. And I think you would have to double check this. But I think me and she were saying, like, is Chris Duhon the last guard that played on two Final Four teams? And I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
That'd have to be.
Because it's too spaced out since then. So
yeah, I mean, you had to go back to the 91-92 teams before that. So yeah.
Yeah. And then you're talking about doing it for two separate coaches too, which is, that's pretty wild. So well, let's jump in. We'll talk a little bit to Jeremy. I think I asked him the first question just on his role on being the closer, specifically last year in those Carolina games, just what happens when the game's kind of on the line here. Shu, if you want to play that clip.
What happened for you though, Jeremy, at the end of games? It seems like something clicked. I mean, both Carolina games almost played out identically. You go back to the Final Four run, you're getting in the middle against Texas Tech. It seems the last 5 to 7 minutes, something just is like, all right, it's my time. I want the ball. I'm good with the shot.
Yeah.
Is that, does that a flip that switches for you, or is it just natural?
It's kind of just natural. I've always been like that closer guy for my team. But I just, it always comes back to my work, the work that I put in, the preparation that I do, the work I do with Coach Lucas on a daily basis. I mean, that just, it's not like a switch, but it's just that confidence that, like, that last, at the end of the game, I mean, it's not about the first 4 minutes, but the last 4 minutes who really make a champion. So,
for sure.
Obviously, I kind of fumbled the question a little bit there, but I do think at the end, he hinted on what I was trying to get him to talk about, because the first 4 minutes are just as important as the last 4 minutes. If you look across the landscape of every possession, essentially is equal. But when he says it's not really about the first, that's what I was trying to tap into, right? Like, so something does prioritize for him later in the game where he's like, okay, it's my time. I'm fresh. The legs are ready. I didn't quite get there for him, but go ahead and let's play the last one. I think I asked him too about just being a senior and what he's kind of seen growth in his game.
If we went back to fall of 2020, seems like forever ago, what's the biggest
growth for you in terms of just your game in those 4 years?
Just being more consistent now. I mean, I think I know, I mean, not think, I know, I know a lot more than I did coming in my freshman year, which I thought I knew it all then, but I actually didn't know pretty much anything. So just my experience has definitely been the biggest thing, and just, I don't know, just being more consistent and just having that confidence. And I feel like I had confidence when I stepped on campus, but now the confidence is at a higher level now.
Yeah, so another mature response there from Jeremy. I think for me, the big takeaway I have there, that hopefully a lot of recruits and other players are listening to, is, you know, there was some rumblings going on 2-3 years ago, right, about just maybe being a little unhappy in the role or being not right, you know, whether that's from him, his camp, outsiders, whoever. And I don't know if he's directly talking to that, but it is hitting on this idea of, you know, I thought I was here, or I thought that I knew this X amount, and now I'm at a place where it's like, nah, I didn't know nothing then, right? Like, I'm really now starting to get to that. At least that's kind of how I took away from it. Shu, what did you make of, you know, how he's talking about the flip that switches?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hinted on it. You know, coming in, he had, was it Jordan Goldwire kind of playing that year a lot with him? That was the COVID. That was, first year was,
it was, would have been him. I guess that would have been Jago too, and DJ Stewart.
Yeah. Okay. So
not a lot of competition for minutes on that team in the backcourt.
Right. And then obviously the next year when you have the Paulo team, but you had, you know, the Kills experiment too, where we tried to play Kills at the point. So maybe he did feel like, you know, maybe I should be the point instead of this guy. I'm not real sure. But I think you hit on it. Like, he thought he knew stuff as a freshman and sophomore, and now being here for 4 years, he kind of understands. I didn't really know a whole lot at all. I did want to mention, somebody else asked a question about just kind of the uniqueness of his career. I mean, you come in COVID, obviously that was a weird time, but no fans in the stands. Roy Williams retires the next year. He's playing, you know, his last year with Coach K. So they had the, you know, it's Coach K's last this, last that. And then, you know, his junior year, now it's John Shire's first this, first that. So it's just kind of been a really, you know, odd and unique kind of career for the kid.
Yeah. And hopefully now this year, it's just, let's play ball, right? Yeah. Like, let's just go get it. Let's win. There's no, like, storyline, like you're saying, right? There's no, like, those national story. Like, you're getting asked every time about, what's it like playing on Coach K's last team, right? Or what's it like being with John on his first? So now they just kind of get to settle in and roll the ball out, hopefully, and see what happens here. A little surprised that Ryan didn't make the trip, but I guess, you know, only a few schools brought three guys. No one brought four that I'm aware of. So I guess at a certain point, you kind of, you got to bring the preseason player of the year, right? Like, even though at the time you don't know, you got to bring Flip. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and then we'll talk a little bit. We'll kind of preview a little bit of things, just some quick over-unders, just some fun stuff as we get ready to start the season here.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's come back. And before we get out of here, I know we have some over-under stuff, just some kind of some fun stuff we like to do numbers game-wise as we get ready to start the season here. I haven't seen them. Shu hasn't seen them. So, Raul, I'll let you take this since you've kind of prepared some stuff for us, and hopefully we don't look too stupid here.
40-0, right? 40-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 40-0.
No, hopefully I set the lines well. You know, I'm not some Vegas expert, so I just kind of went with my gut of like what would make it hard to choose here, and some of them might be easy for you, some of them might not, but I was thinking we'll kind of keep track of it. I'm not gonna like write them down, but we'll listen back to this pod and you know, at the end of the year, and just kind of see who won, how we did. So we'll see. We're gonna start with Kyle Filipowski points per game. I've got it at 16.5. what do you guys think?
I'll go over.
Remember, there's going to be a lot of scorers on this team.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I'm going over. I'm going over.
She's going to go over in all these, isn't he?
I'm going to go under, but I think it's just, I think the line is probably just right. If I could push, I'd push, but I'll go under just to make it interesting.
I mean, he averaged 15 last year. Now he's got two good hips, boys. I mean, that's worth 2 points.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going over.
All right. I guess I should pick two. Maybe I set the line too well. This is hard for me as well. I'm going to start out optimistically and I'll go over. Because I think he's going to be at like 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be far over 16.5, but
I think it's going to be 16 point something, basically. Right. Okay. And so if that's at 16.3 or 16.8, like,
right.
I think that's the right split, though, somewhere in that 16.
Yeah.
I will say that I think his efficiency is going to be better. Like, even if he averages like kind of the same points per game as last year, it's going to be on fewer shots, maybe.
Yeah.
And he might have more assists. So let's move on to rebounds per game for Flip. I've got the line at 9, which is exactly what he averaged last year.
Hmm. Go first.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over on this one. And I think that sounds absurd, but if he's really going to play the 5 and the dude's an offensive rebounding machine, I mean, I'm thinking he might could have 4 offensive, maybe 5. So yeah, I'll go over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over as well.
Yeah, this is going to be boring. Maybe I set this one too low because I'm thinking just what you were saying. Since he's playing the 5, he'll probably play more minutes than last year as well. You know, his athleticism should be better with the 2 hips. So, you know, 9's a high number, though.
It
so,
is.
But yeah, I'll go over, and I think it'll be between 9 and 10 somewhere. All right, Roach points per game. I've got it at 13.5.
Am I going first on this one?
Yeah, you take it.
13.5. That's about what he's been at, right? Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under with that one.
I'll go over. Why not? Let's do it. I don't think it's going to be much over, but I'll go over.
Right. I'm pulling up his stats, actually, to see.
And that's only really predicated off just kind of what he was doing at CTC, right? And if he really is going to be more of a pocket shooter and just kind of a little bit of a gunner coming off of like whatever Proctor's doing, I could see him at 14.
Yeah, yeah. He was actually at 13.6 last year. I hadn't even looked that up. I just kind of knew that's around where he was. And I do expect his efficiency to be better this year, but I was kind of thinking like maybe with having more guards, there's just less shots.
Yeah.
You know, and Proctor should take more shots as well.
That's what I was thinking. Proctor's going to get some. McCain's going to get some. Foster's going to get some.
So I think I'll go under on that as well.
Mine's just solely predicated too on him being a better 3-point shooter, right? So if he goes from like 32, 33 to 38, just that percentage gets him an extra like what point a game or whatever. So, yep.
I mean, there's a good chance he hits three corner threes every game almost, the way it's been looking, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, he's probably going to be the guy that if you're a defender, you're going to sag off of him from the 3-point line before you would sag off of McCain or Foster, I think. Like, yes, Roach is more proven, but he has 3 years of not shooting that well, so he might get some open shots.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, we got Mitchell points per game. Mark Mitchell points per game, 12.5.
He did set these pretty good, bro.
Yeah, he did set them really good.
I did a little crowdsourcing, by the way, on a message board just to ask people what they thought.
You said 12.5?
Yep.
Is this me or you first? You.
You.
12.5. I'm going to go under, but only by like 2 decimal points, probably.
I'm going to go over by 2 decimal points.
Okay. All right.
I'm going under on this one, too. I think I've got him at around 12 this year. I just don't think he's ever going to be a high usage guy, at least not at Duke. So I think he's kind of content to just, you know, attack closeouts, shoot the open corner three, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think he's going to have several like 18 to like 18, around 18 point games. And then he's going to have multiple like 8 to 10 point games probably too.
Right. Where he takes like 4 shots.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Him playing the 4, though, it depends too on how much time he really gets at the 4.
Yep,
And because that could really just open things up for him too. So we'll kind of see a little bit as the season goes on, I guess.
All right. I have a feeling which way you guys are going to lean with this one, but Tyrese Proctor points per game, I've got it at 12.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm thinking he's going to be more a table setter, but you know, that was just my rationale for that line.
I'm going to go over. I think he's going to give us at least 13 to 14.
Yeah, I'll go over as well. I think it's a good set, though. I think somewhere between 12 and 14 is probably, like, if I was playing in my head, you know, I guess maybe you have some other ones. There's somewhere around 12 to 14, 6 and 5 or something, you know, is kind of what I'm hoping for, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah. So, yeah, this will be boring. I'm going to go over two. So I think there's been two so far that we've all picked the same thing, but we've got enough variety in here that it should work out. All right. So sticking with Proctor, I've got assists per game set at 5. And just as kind of historical perspective for people listening, we've only had like 3 guards ever maybe who have gone over 6 assists. It's just not a school for whatever reason that has guards with like 9, 10 assists. You know, that's actually more of a Carolina thing historically.
Who's turn? Mine turn? Your turn? Mine? I know I just kind of gave away where I thought he should be, but I'm going to go under, and it's only like very, very marginal, like somewhere between 4.5 and 5. But for what you said, we don't really seem to do that a whole lot. John's trying to run a motion offense, and Tyrese might be our best. Maybe him and McCain are going to compete for best off-ball guard too, probably. Of like, mm-hmm. So he doesn't really have to have it. I know he has the flashy passing, so he's going to get some. But across the whole season, yeah, I'll go slightly under.
Yeah, I think the same. Around the 4.5 range is what it'll probably end up being.
I know I just gave the rationale for why it might be somewhat low, but I'm going to go over. I think I got it like 5.3 maybe. It's my guess there.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't see him at like 7 though, right? Like see that really. That would be pretty wild.
He has great vision, but he's not that kind of like dynamic of a passer like that. Like,
and I just don't think they're going to give him the ball and say, you just high ball screen. Yeah. And that's our offense. Right.
Like, I think you'll have more hockey assist.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Cause that's what he did a lot last year. He made a pass to the guy that made the pass for the score. Yeah.
Right. All right. Now, here's the $1 million question. Cause it'll determine what style of play we're seeing on the court a lot this year. So Ryan Young minutes per game, 15. Now, last year he played 17.6, but bear in mind that he was playing a lot at the start of the season. By the end of the season, he was down to like 10.
This is you for a shoe.
All right. I was going to let you jump on that. I'm going to go under based on the sole fact that I think, like we talked about in the last episode, Christian Reeves ought to grab just a couple of those minutes.
Yep.
15, huh? I kind of want to push it, but that's not an option. Yeah, I'll go slightly under, but I think we're going to see something kind of similar to last year. It might not be like, it might be the inverse of that or an injury, or I think that he's just going to have a stretch where he's playing a lot of minutes, and then there's going to be a stretch where he's just relegated to 8 to 10 to 12, depending on what Sean Stewart does, how good Mark Mitchell is. We'll see. Christian Reeves maybe as a guy that's going to steal some of those minutes. So, yeah, I'm right there at the push line, though. I think that's a good set of mark for 15.
Well, I didn't have this on here, but maybe I'll just add it on. What about Christian Reeves' minutes? I'll just make it up on the spot here. Mm-hmm. You guys think
7.5?
Yeah, I like that line.
7.5?
That might be. That I might would be probably go high. Under that one, but yeah.
I would go under with that as well. I mean, I could see 7.5 if we're not factoring in DMPs. So then it could really skew like what we're talking about, right? Like maybe he plays 7.5, but he only plays in 19 games or something crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this depends on how good Foster and McCain really are, because if they're good, then that's just going to suppress the second big's minutes by default.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. That's actually my next question. So I didn't really want to pick points per game for each of them, because I just felt like we don't know enough about them and we don't know enough about how good they're going to be. So I just set it at combined points, and I've got it at 21. Now, you know, if we're going by all the other lines we picked so far, that would result in like 5 double-digit scores. So I don't know if that's realistic at all, but.
You're saying for McCain and Foster?
Yeah, 21 combined.
Yeah, I'm going to go under that, because I think there's going to be, they're going to have I won't say the complete like Luke Kennard, where one of them has like 28 one game and then 2 the next, but.
Right.
Just averaging out. Yeah, I'm going to go under that.
That's tough. Because if you had me, I would probably put it somewhere like we're 12 for one, 9 for the other, and that's just smashing that 21. Yeah, I guess I'll go under too, right? If I'm going under a mark, I feel like I have to go under on the 21 for them. So, and I went over for Jeremy. So, I don't think we're going to score 90 some points a game, right?
Yep. Just to be interesting, I'll go over. I'm kind of more inclined to go under as well, because I do think if one of them plays really well, that's kind of cutting into the other. I just don't think you can have 2 guys who are essentially our 4th and 5th options averaging like 11 or 12 points.
Right.
I could see one of them doing it for sure. And I can even see the other guy being very valuable and being like hyper efficient or playing a great role, kind of like a, you know, in that 2017 team, how I think Frank Jackson, you know, only played like 20 some minutes a game, but he ended up averaging like 11.5 points and shooting like 40% from 3. And people kind of thought he didn't have a good year, but it's like, no, his role was just kind of small because that team was loaded with guards. So I can see a similar thing happening.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
All right. Now here, this one may be a little on the pessimistic side. We'll see. So Sean Stewart and TJ Power combined minutes per game. I've got it at 12.
Ooh. Mm. Is this going to be the first me or you?
You go.
All right. So this is TJ and Stewart combined at 12, huh? I'll go over. Probably not a ton, but I'll go slightly over. What the hell? It's October.
Yeah, I mean, I think early this season for sure. The ACC is kind of weak, to be honest with you. I don't know if it gets, if John's going to necessarily have to slim it down so much. So yeah, I'll go over too.
Yeah, I like that, because it's like, I also feel with TJ, if he can defend it all, there might be a little bit of a role for him. If you know, John's throwing three guards out there at some point, it's not really working because they're too small or something like that.
Yeah.
He offers like a good combination of size and shooting. So I can see him kind of getting up to that 7 minute kind of range or something. Stewart, from what we've seen, you know, he shows the flashes. He does look a little bit rough. So I kind of wonder how much he's actually going to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully everybody, literally just every player just plays like 18 minutes or something. And we're just beating teams by like 90.
We're going to run the platoons.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Platoons. Yeah.
All right, I just got a few more, so we'll kind of go through these pretty fast. All right, team 3-point percentage. I've got it at 37%.
Ooh.
I'll go, I'm going to go over. Go 38. I think we'll get the 38, 39. We got shooters.
Do we, though?
Depends on how many threes Flip is taking, right?
Yeah. And that's just such a big jump from where we were last year, too. I'll go under. I'll say something about 36, just because I'm expecting there to be pretty significant volume there as well. So,
yeah, I think I'll go slightly under as well. You know, and this could be completely swung by how many minutes a guy like McCain plays, or how many minutes a guy like Shute plays. You know, if you've got Flip and Jeremy out there and Mark Mitchell out there for 33 minutes a game or something, and that's kind of going to depress it. I don't know that I trust any of those guys to shoot 40%.
Yeah. I mean, there's only 30 teams last year that shot 37% or above.
Right.
So that's pretty rarefied air.
Yeah.
And most of those are like mid majors, right?
So right. Yeah, true. I will say that Duke has hit that mark a fair number of times under Coach K.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely not impossible. All right. Team points per game. I'll give you a little context here so you know whether this number is low or high. But so I have it at 81. And that sounds really high considering we averaged like 72 last year. But if you look over the last like 15 years or so, we were only under 80 in 2010 when we played very slow, 2021 when we were awful, and then last year. So typically we're over 80, and we're usually in that 80 to 85 range. There's a bunch of blowouts early that kind of inflate it, right?
Yeah. I think we'll be over. I think this team is going to want to get up and down. And I mean, from countdown, like I said, I don't think we saw a lot of like really late shot clock shots.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a lot of milking the clock.
Yeah.
I agree with that too. Yeah. I think I'd like to see us close to 85. If we could get to that, that would be real. Just because I think the defense is going to take a pretty significant step. I still, we could be good defensively. I just don't think we're going to be anywhere near where we were last year. So, yeah, I'll go over.
Yeah. Sorry, this is boring, but me too. All right. I might skip these KenPom ones. That was really hard to set. It's like, because if it had been Coach K, it would have been really easy for me to guess. But we only have 1 year of John, and we just don't know like how great an offensive coach versus defensive and all that he is. So,
sure.
So we'll just move on to regular season losses, 5.5.
Mm. Regular season, I'll go under that. I think there's maybe a chance of one or two non-conference, and then I don't think there's a lot on the conference schedule this year that really worries me. So yeah, I'll go with under five and a half, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have said it at 5.5. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with five. Yeah.
That's why I felt it was a good line, because like I was looking over the schedule and I'm like, okay, if we have one non-con loss and then four conference, that seems reasonable. But so that's why I picked that.
Yeah. God, I hate to be this person. I'm going to go over and do, I think six is probably the number that I'm looking at,
right?
Because you look at that non-con, Arizona, Michigan State, Arkansas, Baylor, you know, depending on how you feel about those teams. Let's say we go 2-2, and then that's going, 16-4, and probably winning the ACC, and that's six losses. So, yeah, I'll go over, I guess.
Yeah, I'll lean over too, I think. I think six was kind of my thought there, and the rationale was just more about the non-con and the conference, just that we might lose two non-con games, like you were saying.
And for that context, kind of, too, KenPom has us at projected 24-7.
Right.
Now he's got us favored in all but three games.
Right.
So that's, you know, but a few of those are one point wins. So
he's also got us a little low overall, in my opinion, doesn't he?
Probably so. Yeah. Probably. Right. He's got us as a number 7 offense, number 22 defense. So adjusted tempo is still in the 300s, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So I think he's kind of baking in last year a little bit there. All right. Moment of truth. Wins over UNC, 1.5. So this is assuming we'll call it regular season wins, because I don't want to try to factor in the ACC tournament, because who knows if we'll even play them. But yeah. So basically I'm asking, are we going to sweep them or are we going to split?
John Shire is never going to lose to Carolina.
Ever.
Ever. It's the deal they made. It's what we get.
Yep.
All right.
They got to win the Final Four.
They got to win the Final Four. We get to win as long as John Shire ever coaches.
I'll take that trade, actually.
Yeah, I would absolutely take that trade. Just going like a 27-0 run. Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I mean, we're better than them. I feel pretty good about saying that, but those guys got to be hungry after last year, right?
Yeah,
and the way that we lost to them twice, and we play the first one over there.
That's going to be the tough one. But, I mean, look, Mark and Tyrese, they've been over there. Those guys have been over there.
Yeah.
They've done it before.
Yeah.
Flip shined in the villain role over there last year.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, I'll go over too, right? I'll say we bag them up again.
All right, I'm going to go under, big surprise. But no, I just think, wouldn't it be funny if we just win like 62-57 again with a Jeremy Roach layup? And then he's coming back for his fifth year too. And they're like, All right, finish in the ACC, 1.5. So I'm asking, are we going to finish first or are we going to finish below that?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going first.
I haven't looked at all of the scheduling and stuff, but I think we have a pretty decent ACC schedule this year. So yeah, I'll say we win the conference. Outside of Carolina, Miami, and Virginia, I don't even know if anyone else could even challenge it up there at the top. So yeah, why not?
I will say we only play Virginia at home, so that's helpful. I do think we play Miami on the road. I don't remember if we have them at home too, though. So that's the kind of thing that can really determine it, is like, what are your matchups with the top three or four, and are they road games or home games?
Yeah. And they do some stupid stuff too. Like we play Pittsburgh 2 out of 3 games.
Yep.
In January. Like why? Why? Yeah.
Well, hopefully that goes like last year.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll go. Oh, I guess in this case it would be over, lower than one. I'll go, I think we finished second. It's just I've seen us have the best team in the ACC too many times and still not finish first to like really trust in it.
Sure. Unbalanced schedules too, you know. I mean,
right, exactly.
I will say that we don't have too many brutal stretches though outside of like, I mean,
yeah,
at Virginia Tech, at North Carolina, back to back is yep. kind of tough. And then you go at Florida State, at Miami, at Wake Forest. That could, you know, potentially kind of bite you somewhere. But
I would like to go 2 of 3, and that would be, I'd feel happy with that to win 2 of 3 out of those road games there. Like, you know.
And I feel like a lot of the times, to your point, that we have the most talent, but we don't finish first. It's like Virginia ends up winning it. Because those are the years that they are scheduled to only play like us once and Carolina once. And we have to play, you know, Carolina twice. We have to play somebody else that's going to be top in the ACC twice. So we just take on more losses.
And Virginia just doesn't, they don't garner other teams' best shots in the same way. Like you just don't get as pumped up to play them, I don't think. And their style just doesn't really allow you to stay pumped up if you are. They lull you into sleep, right? Yeah. So like that's.
I'm not real high on this Virginia team just because I know they lost a lot of guys and they're adding transfers and whatnot. Yeah. It's just,
I'm high on Beekman being awesome.
Yeah, Beekman is great. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they just have a style that's like I feel like it allows we probably talked about this, but it allows inferior teams to beat them, but it also allows them to be in every game because there's so few possessions that if when you're playing in the 60s, like even if you are playing a better team, they're only going to be like 5 points ahead. And their defense offers some stability too. I've got us finishing second. Just kind
that's
of
a good question for you though, too, like for both. I don't know, maybe you have this already, but as you're talking about it, over under, I'm going to set it at 3.5 on how many ranked teams will play in conference. How many games will play ranked?
Ooh, 3.5.
3.5. Probably. Now, some of it could be the same. Like, so if you think Carolina is going to be ranked and we play them twice, that counts as 2, right? So, how many games do we play against a ranked team?
I'm going to go under that. I'm gonna say it's only gonna be 3.
Okay.
I think UNC will probably stay in the top 25 all year. I don't think they're gonna be like top 10 necessarily, but so that's 2 right there. I figure Miami will be ranked. Who else really has a chance of being ranked?
Probably just Virginia, right? Yeah, maybe if like Virginia Clemson. Tech or Clemson or State somehow sneak in there for a week or two.
So I guess the question is, do we play Miami twice or not?
No.
Yeah, no. That's why I went with 3.
Okay. I'll go over, but if it's over, it's going to be like 4. You know, it's not going to be.
Yeah. And the reason I just did that is just because that kind of tells us where things are at, right? That used to be an easy, like, smash the over on that of ranked teams are playing, especially over in a 20-game slate. Like,
yeah.
You know, there was a time where probably 15 of them are going to be ranked. You know, it's a different dynamic out there. But, you know, I don't know if you have any more. I didn't want to jump in and just.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've got just a couple and then we'll close it up. So the NCAA tournament seeding 1.5. So do you think we're going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed or lower?
Probably a 2 seed. Yeah. I don't know about a 1 seed. I'd go 2 or lower.
Yeah, we really have to win.
We have to win all those non-conference games. Yeah. I mean, you have to sweep those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 1, and I don't think we necessarily have to. I think you want to go 3-1 in those 4 tough non-cons, and then just not blow a load to like Syracuse or Louisville or Notre Dame or somebody, probably, right? So, The conference is really screwing us though when it comes to that. because this schedule in a like a quote unquote normal ACC year would be a shoe-in for like a top seed with the team that you have, right? Like your schedule is going to be really good. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll give us the one seed just because I'm not that sold on the rest of the college basketball landscape outside of maybe Kansas. So yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm going to do the that we get a one seed as well, which is funny because both of us picked us to lose six games.
More games than, yeah. than she did. Yeah. But
somehow getting the higher seed.
I just think, yeah, just doesn't make a lot of the sense. The qualities, I guess.
Right, yeah.
The Big Ten and Big 12 are going to get – somebody's going to get 2-1 seeds. You know, some
– That's where it could screw you, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I mean, to be clear, your logic makes more sense than ours. Like, well, duh, I'm just kind of banking on, like, we're going to win the games against the good opponents, and then we're going to drop stupid games. Yeah. That was my logic there. Like, we'll lose to somebody terrible or something. But – which I guess could bump down the seeding as well. But I think it's more important overall to get those, like, quad one wins when you can.
Yeah.
All right. Last couple, and they're all kind of on the same theme. So all ACC team appearances. So how many players do you think we will have on the first through third teams of all ACC? I've got it at 2.5.
I'll go over. We're going to have 3.
On ACC teams?
Yeah. All ACC.
Does that count like just the first, second, third team? Not
Yeah, yeah. Not I've got some team, questions about all some other stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 3 with that then.
Yeah, I'll go 3 as well, just because there's the guard depth that doesn't really seem to be there in the conference. So, yeah, I'll go 3.
Yeah, this is another boring one where we're all going to pick the same thing. I just think that basically I think that Proctor and Filipowski are almost locks to get on one of the teams. Mm-hmm. So then you just got to get one more guy, and I think Roach or Mitchell can do it. So, all right, well, what about all rookie team appearances? So 1.5.
Under.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go under too.
And that's just one team that they do for rookies, right? It's just five guys.
Probably not that. It's probably not that often that you get two guys.
Yeah. So
my thought was just that, like, Duke typically has more freshmen than other teams, so we probably have had two guys in the past. I'm sure it's happened a few times.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah,
definitely has, and it could this year too. But there's, and I don't really know what other teams have like start. I mean,
because it pretty much has to be one of our two guards, is what we're probably talking about, right? Yeah, right. And so, you know, I don't know how you feel about Cadeau, but he could bump one of those guys off.
Right.
And so if that happens, then I guess I'll have to go under and just say that one of McCain or Foster makes. I'd lean McCain, but, you know, it could be Foster too.
Yeah. I don't know if I said yet, but I'm going to be contrarian. I'll go over on that. All right. So last thing is just between all the other all-conference awards. So we got Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, All Defense, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, and Sixth Man. Do we get more or less than 2.5 players on all those teams?
More.
Sorry, I said players, but obviously with Coach of the Year, it could be Shire. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to go more.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go over. Yeah. Yeah. I think John wins Coach of the Year if this plan plays out the way that we think that it should. Then.
Yeah.
Me too. And then I think you're going to get Mitchell on All Defense, probably Proctor too, so that puts you over it right there. I don't think we get the Defensive Player of the Year.
That'll be
Most Improved could happen, I guess. We've got a bunch of freshmen returning. Sixth Man is a chance too. I don't think we get Rookie of the Year. I'm sure there's somebody out there on one of the teams who's going to have a bigger role than Foster or McCain will.
Sure.
So, like, even Cadeau might have a better chance.
Because
he's going to have more on his plate, I think. I probably would put it at least 3. So I'll go over on that one as well. All right. Well, that's all I got there. I could have made like 30 more categories, but I figured nobody wants to sit here and listen to us do this for an hour more. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think I'd rather do these because they're a little more quick hitting than like,
right,
trying to guess like blocks and steals for each guy. It's like, all right, we kind of get lost in that stuff sometimes, but Yeah.
And some of that's so contingent on like how much a player plays, like with freshmen and stuff like that. Like that's why I kind of stuck with the stats to the older players, because we know what kind of role they're going to have, I think.
Yeah.
You know, versus like trying to predict Stewart's points per game. It's like total crapshoot.
Yeah. Well, we can go ahead and kind of wrap up and kind of transition out of here. You know, we'll probably come back here in the next little bit because Shu's going to be at the exhibition again. Shu, who are we playing in that exhibition? Are you know yet?
UNC Pembroke.
UNC Pembroke. Okay. And then the first game of the season is November 6th, I believe. Right. So we'll probably come back after the exhibition. This time you get a chance to be on press row while there's an actual team playing against Duke. So that's kind of cool. Maybe we'll get some different scoops on, you know, what that's like going in the atmosphere. So, you know, a little less secret than the other ones that we'll have a little bit more to talk about in that one. But
We didn't even mention the secret scrimmage, did we?
Yeah, I think I talked about it at the top briefly, but, you know, we played Villanova, a lot of different reports coming out on that. So it seems like Duke played pretty well. From all accounts, it was a semi-close game for somewhere in the 10 to 12 points. The one thing that I saw that I'm hoping is sticks is that Flip was awesome. So if that's true, then that's what I want to hear. Because he's going to be a problem, I think, for a lot of teams to match up with, especially at the five. So really excited to see what that looks like. But, you know, in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the boards at thedevilsden.com or on Twitter at devilsdenpod247. Season's right around the corner here, so we'll come back and recap the exhibition and keep the faces strong in the verb high.
Go to switch them flips.
Yeah, switch them flips.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.